بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue part 2 of the subject concerning the noble Quran. The Quran is a blessed book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-An'am in chapter 6, verse 155, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And this is a blessed book, the Quran, which we have sent down, so follow it and fear Allah, meaning don't disobey His orders, that you may receive mercy, meaning be saved from the torment of hell. It is blessed in its influence, in its results and reward. The blessed influence of the Quran. The blessed influence of the Quran. First, the influence on the hearts. The Quran influences the heart and softens it. The Quran influences the heart and softens it and makes it attain the state of awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He Allah, the one free of all imperfection and the most high, says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. As in Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59 verse 2 or verse 21. قال الله تعالى, what means, had we sent down this Quran on a mountain, you would surely have seen it humbling itself asunder by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such are the parables which we put forward to mankind that they may reflect. This affirms the perfect influence of this Quran on the hearts of those who believe and who contemplate the meaning of the Quran. What about the sick hearts? What about the sick hearts? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. But as for those, as in Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 125, but as for those on whose hearts is a disease, disease of what? Doubt, disbelief, and hypocrisy. It, meaning a surah from the Quran, will add suspicion and doubt to their suspicion, disbelief and doubt, and they die while they are disbelievers. It means that their hearts get more and more hardened, and its suspicion and doubt gets augmented. The Quran is blessed in its influence because it is a shifa, healing. It is a shifa, healing. For every kind of disease. For every kind of disease. The diseases of the heart, as well as the physical diseases. It cures the heart from the diseases of doubts and ill intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, chapter 10 verse
57. يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين.
O mankind, there has come to you a good advice from your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a healing for that in your hearts, from disease of ignorance, doubt, hypocrisy, and so forth, in your breasts, a guidance and a mercy for the believers, a guidance and a mercy for the believers. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 80. وينزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارة.
وينزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا.
And we send down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe in Tawheed. And it increases the zalimeen, the polytheists and the wrongdoers, nothing but loss. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most mighty and most majestic, also says about the Quran in Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 44.
ولو جعلناه قرآنا أعجميا لقالوا لولا فصلت آياته أعجمي وعربي قل هو للذين آمنوا هدى وشفاء والذين لا يؤمنون في آذانهم وقر وهو عليهم عمى أولئك ينادون من مكان بعيد.
And if we had sent this as a Quran in a foreign language other than the Arabic, they would have said, why are not its verses explained in detail in our language? What? A book not in Arabic, and the messenger an Arab, say it is for those who believe, a guide and a healing. Say it is for those who believe, a guide and a healing, and as for those who disbelieve, there is heaviness, deafness in their ears, and it, the Quran, is blindness for them. They are those who are called from a place far away, so they neither listen nor understand. While the Quran is a cure for all kinds of diseases, the fact, however, is that not everyone is qualified to receive the healing power of the Quran. While the Quran is a cure for all kinds of diseases, the fact, however, is that not everyone is qualified to receive the healing power of the Quran, nor that everyone will be granted such power. The healing effects of the Quran are manifested with those who have true and firm belief in it and in its curing powers, and who receive the recitation with full acceptance. In case there is no effect, then the place of reception is corrupted by wickedness in the heart and or doubt regarding the acceptance of the Quranic healing. Dealing with the ailment of shubuhat, doubts and misconceptions. It is worth noting that the diseases of the hearts are centered upon shubuhat, doubts, and shahawat, lusts, and that the Quran is a cure for both. The clear and irrefutable evidence it contains distinguishes between truth and falsehood. There is no book under the sky that comprises evidences and signs for great matters like tawheed, the affirmation of Allah's attributes, and of the ma'ad meaning the appointed day of return to Allah, prophecies, and the refutation of futile sects and corrupt opinions like the Quran. Indeed, it addresses all of that in the best, most perfect, easy to comprehend, and most eloquent ways. Therefore, it is really the cure from the diseases of doubt and suspicion. However, this depends upon the understanding of the Quran and knowing what is intended therein. Thus, the one whom Allah bestows upon him the understanding of the Quran would see in his heart the truth and falsehood with certitude as he sees the day and the night. The best that is with the scholastic theologians, al-mutakallimin, as well as others, is already in the Quran, most perfectly stated and best in explanation. They only have takalluf. What is takalluf? Affect themselves so purposely to do or express something. And tatweel, elaborateness, from elaboration, protraction, and ta'qeed, complication. They claim that they repel doubts and suspicion by that which they have laid down, meaning the scholastic theologians. The honorable and intelligent person knows, however, that doubts and suspicions only increase by that which they have done. It is impossible that in the book of Allah and in the words of His Messenger, no healing, guidance, certainty, and knowledge occur, but rather in the words of those confused, doubtful, and suspicious theologians. The most celebrated scholastic theologian of the Ash'ari, of the Ash'arites, and his name is Al-Fakhr al-Razi, who died in the year 606 after Hijra, corresponding to 1218 of the current era, who spent almost his entire life in the wilderness of scholastic rhetoric, and whose books are taken as a reference by the latter of the Ash'arites, stated, quote, "I wish I did not work with ilm al-kalam, with scholastic theology." And he cried. Not only that, he said, "I have thought about scholastic ways and philosophical methodologies, and I found that they heal not the ailing, nor do they quench the one burning in thirst. And I found that the easiest way to understand is the way of the Quran, where with regard to the matter of affirmation of the attributes I read, الرحمن على العرش استوى, الرحمن, the one who is most merciful, استوى, ascended the throne. And I read in Fatir 35:10, إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. To him ascend all the goodly words and all the righteous deeds, he lifts up to him. And when it comes to the matter of negation, I read in it in the Quran, as in 42:11, ليس كمثله شيء, nothing is like unto him. And I read, ولا يحيطون به علما, and they will never compass anything of his knowledge. And whoever, he continues, and whoever experiences the like of my experience would come to know the like of my knowledge. End of quote. These statements of Ar-Razi are cited in many books. And Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah cited some of them in his book Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, volume 13, page 61. And also in Ad-Dawa' al-Munir, volume 3, pages 448-449. Many of the top scholastic theologians ended up in a similar state of perplexity and wished that they did not indulge in these ways, and that they would love to die on the state of fitra. On the state of fitra. The state of the natural disposition. The beginning and the end stage of scholastic theology, listen to this. The beginning and the end stage of scholastic theology is ash-shak. And we should write this in Arabic. Ash-shak, which means doubt. While the beginning of Sufism is wonderment and dreams, and it ends in insanity and high states of excitement, intoxication and annihilation in Allah, seeing none in existence except Allah, states of darkness on top of darkness. And this is really very important. That's why I want to repeat. The beginning and the end stage of scholastic theology is ash-shak, doubt. While the beginning of Sufism is wonderment and dreams, and it ends in insanity and high states of excitement, intoxication and annihilation in Allah. These are their terminologies. Seeing none exist in existence except Allah, which is the unity of existence, wahdatul wujud. These are states of darkness on top of darkness. In summary, the Quran takes you directly and with ease to the great matters of creed, of aqidah. That's why it is a healing from the shubuhat, from the doubts and misconceptions, and a mercy to the believers. Dealing with shahawat, with lust. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said concerning this, as to its healing of the diseases of shahawat, of lust, this lies in what it contains from wisdom, good admonition by way of targhib. Let's write this in Arabic. This is terminology. By the way of targhib, invitation to desire. Invitation to desire what is good. and tarheeb, warning people to have no desire for what is wrong and evil. Repeat. As to its healing of the diseases of shahawat, of lusts, this lies in what it contains from wisdom, good admonition by way of targhib, targhib meaning invitation to desire what is good, and tarheeb, warning people to have no desire for what is wrong and evil, and tazheed in this worldly life, meaning renunciation of that which is of no benefit in the hereafter. Targhib in the hereafter, meaning calling the believers to desire the perfect good that awaits them in the hereafter. And it has amthal, setting parables for the truth and falsehood, and qasas, enlightening stories. The clear heart reflects upon all of this and desires that which benefits it in this life and the hereafter, and keeps away from that which inflicts harm on it. Consequently, the heart turns to love the righteousness and hates wrong deeds and aggression. The Quran therefore eliminates the ailments which direct the heart towards corrupt intentions, and the heart becomes righteous, and so does its will. It turns to its pure innate nature. This is based upon Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah's discussions in his book Ighathatul Lahthan, volume 1, page 44. Secondly, the blessed physical influence of the Quran. The blessed physical influence of the Quran. The Quran also heals the ailments of the body. The evidence of this is in the story of the Prophet's companions who came across an Arabian tribe, and that tribe did not entertain them. That tribe did not entertain them. The chief of the tribe was bitten by a snake or stung by a scorpion. The tribe asked the companions to treat the chief with ruqya, with Quranic recitation. They agreed, but requested that the tribe pay for it because they refused to entertain them. The tribe accepted, and one of the companions recited Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Noble Quran. The patient got cured, and the people presented a flock of sheep to the companions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved the recital and the payment they took. And this is story, and another one like it is reported by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih in volume 7. Nowadays, however, people recite Al-Fatiha upon patients, and rarely there is an effect. The Quran is the same and the Fatiha is the same. The problem, however, is with us. And as it is said, quote, the problem is not with the sword, but with the one who strikes with it, end of quote. Another reason lies with the weak faith of the patients. They consider the recital a trial that they want to, quote, experience, when both the person who recites and the patient believe that the Quran is a healing from diseases, then by Allah's, the cure will befall upon the disease. Now, the blessed effects of the Quran. the blessed effects of the Quran. The Muslims waged jihad in the cause of Allah as directed by the command of Allah in the Quran. The Muslims waged jihad in the cause of Allah as directed by the command of Allah in the Quran. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. In Al-Furqan 25:52. So obey not the unbelievers, but strive against them with the utmost endeavor with it, the Quran. In fact, when the early Muslims who truly held to the teachings of the Quran succeeded to open the hearts and lands east and west, they really believed in the Quran and acted according to its commands. Nowadays, many Muslims have resorted to other than the Quran because of their ignorance as well as weakness. The attachment to this worldly life and the following of lowly desires brought the Muslims to this state of weakness which we witness. There can be no true dignity until all rulers and ruled return to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as understood and practiced by the righteous predecessors of this ummah. This is what made the early Muslims victorious. However, we say it with words. We say it with words. Few are those who are striving to comply. Now, the blessed reward of the Quran. The Quran is blessed because of the reward the believer gains upon its recitation. In fact, for every recited letter, there is a reward equivalent to that of one good deed, and each good deed is amplified tenfold. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by Tirmidhi and others, and Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah authenticated it, whoever reads a single letter from Allah's book will receive a reward of one good deed, and each good deed is worth 10 times its value. So the believers are encouraged to read the Quran and contemplate about the great meanings of its verses in order to gain Allah's promised reward and benefit from the meanings of the recited verses. The status of people regarding the recitation of the noble Quran is illustrated by the following sayings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, المؤمن الذي يقرأ القرآن, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari volume 6 number 572. المؤمن الذي يقرأ القرآن ويعمل به كالأترجة طعمها طيب وريحها طيب. The example of a believer who recites the Quran and acts on it is like a citron which tastes nice and smells nice. والمؤمن الذي لا يقرأ القرآن ويعمل به كالتمرة طعمها طيب ولا ريح لها. And the example of a believer who does not recite the Quran but acts on it is like a date which tastes good but has no smell. ومثل المنافق الذي يقرأ القرآن كالريحانة ريحها طيب وطعمها مر. And the example of a hypocrite who recites the Quran is like a rayhana, which is a sweet basil, which smells good but tastes bitter. ومثل المنافق الذي لا يقرأ القرآن كالحنظلة طعمها مر أو خبيث وريحها مر. And the example of a hypocrite who does not recite the Quran is like a colocynth, which is a lemon-like bitter plant known also as, quote, bitter apple, which tastes bitter and has a bad smell. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام also said in the hadith which is agreed upon, الماهر بالقرآن مع السفرة الكرام البررة والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, one who is proficient in the Quran is associated with the noble, upright, recording angels. And he who falters in it, or falters in it, and finds it difficult for him, will have a double reward. Will have a double reward. The Quran guides to that which is most just and right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfections, the Most High, says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ, as in Surah Al-Isra 17, verse 9. Verily, this Quran guides to that which is most just and right. Most just and right. Most just and right belief. The greatest injustice established by Allah and made clear by Him in the Quran is the matter of belief. The greatest justice established in the Quran is the matter of belief in Allah, the Most High. The belief in Allah comprises four matters, all of which are established in the Quran. And these are the belief in the existence of Allah, the belief in His Lordship, the belief in His divinity, to sing in Him alone as the true God worthy of worship, and to affirm all that He had affirmed from the names and attributes, unique and most perfect. The Quran guides to that which is most just and most right in A. averting all evil, corruption and vice. B. bringing about good and righteousness. C. establishing the code of moral conduct. As to the averting of evil and corruption, this covers six matters. The first matter is averting all forms of corruption from the deen. In this regard, we know, for example, that the Quran affirms that the deen accepted to Allah is al-Islam. In this, it guides to the most right and most just religion. Hence, we are called to ward off all the attempts that focus upon the so-called unity of religions and its gate, which is called inner faith dialogue, end of quote. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts in Surah Al Imran, Inna Dina Indallahi al Islam, chapter 3, verse 19. Truly, the religion with Allah is Islam. And in 3:83, Afaghayra Dini Allahi Yabun, do they seek other than the religion of Allah? and in Al Imran in 385. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted of him, and in the hereafter he will be amongst the losers. Another example is that the Quran states clearly that the believer should hold to this deen with sincerity, and therefore should avert from himself all the roads to shirk, to ascribing partners and setting up rivals to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ فَاعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ أَلَا لَهُ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ. In 39:2-3, verily we have sent down the book to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in truth, so worship Allah alone by doing religious deeds sincerely for Allah's sake only. Surely the religion is for Allah alone. Furthermore, the Quran asserts that the deen has been perfected, and thus the believers should ward off all forms of bid'ah, of innovations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:3, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day I have perfected the religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your deen, as your religion. The second matter is averting all forms of evil from the self. So the first matter was from the deen. This one, from the self. The Quran guides to the most just and right way in its penal codes in order to preserve the human self. This is manifested in the severe penalties regarding criminal offenses. In them, there is a great deterrence, security, and protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:179, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ قِصَاصٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And there is a saving of life for you in qisas, which is the law of equality and punishment, O men of understanding. O men of understanding. The wisdom for is clearly stated at the end of this verse where Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That you may become people of taqwa, those who act to protect themselves from Allah's punishment by complying with His commands and keeping away from what He forbade, with both compliance and subsistence being based upon authentic knowledge. This is taqwa. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:178, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى الحر بالحر والعبد بالعبد والأنثى بالأنثى فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء فاتباع بالمعروف وأداء إليه بإحسان ذلك تخفيف من ربكم ورحمة فمن اعتدى بعد ذلك فله عذاب أليم. Oh, who you believe, القصاص, the law of equality and punishment, is prescribed for you in case of murder, the free for the free, the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. But if the killer is forgiven by the brother or the relatives of the killed against blood money, then adhering to it with fairness and payment of the blood money to the higher should be made in fairness. This is an alleviation and a mercy from your Lord. So after this, whoever transgresses the limits, kills the killer after taking the blood money, he shall have a painful torment. The third matter is warding off evil from the intellect. Warding off evil from the intellect. In this regard, the Quran brought forth the most just and most right way to protect the human intellect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verses 90-91. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون.
Oh, you believe? Intoxicants, all kinds of alcoholic drinks, gambling, al-ansab are animals that are sacrificed on nusab, on altars, and for the idols. These al-nusab were stone altars at fixed places or graves, where on sacrifices were slaughtered on certain occasions in the name of the idols, in the name of jinns, angels, pious men, saints, etc., in order to honor them or to expect some benefit from. So, all who you believe, intoxicants, gambling, al-ansab, you know now what it means, al-azlam, these are arrows for seeking luck or decision, are an abomination of shaitan's handiwork, of Satan's handiwork. So avoid strictly all that abomination in order that you may be successful. Shaitan wants only to excite enmity and hatred between you with intoxicants and gambling and hinder you from the remembrance of Allah and from As-Salah. So will you not then abstain? The Prophet ﷺ commanded that the one taking intoxicants be chastised by flogging, in order to turn him away from his evil, from this evil, and to preserve the society from the catastrophic consequences of this evil. The fourth matter is averting evil from the lineage. The Quran brought forth the most just and right ways of protecting the lineage of people. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most magnificent, forbade zina, adultery, and prescribed a deterring punishment on it. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 32, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And come not near to the zina, the unlawful sexual intercourse. Verily it is a fahisha, extremely vile deed, and a transgression of limits, and an evil way that leads one to hell unless Allah forgives him. Zina also leads to mix-up of lineages. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed the iddah, the waiting period for a woman after divorce or death of her husband, after the expiry of which she can remarry another person. قال الله تعالى in this respect in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:2-8, والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء ولا يحل لهن أن يكتمن ما خلق الله في أرحامهن إن كن يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. And divorced women shall wait as regards their marriage for 3 menstrual periods. And it is not lawful for them to conceal what Allah has created in their wombs if they believe in Allah and the last day. The 5th matter is averting harm from the believer's honor. The Quran commands the most just and right ways in protecting the Muslim's honor and integrity. Allah forbade backbiting between the Muslims because it leads to mischief and harm. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Hujurat, in chapter 49, verse 12,
اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم.
Oh, you believe, avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sins. And spy not, neither backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it, so hate backbiting. And fear Allah, verily Allah is the one who accepts repentance, most merciful. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in Surah Al-Hujurat, the verse which is verse 11, the one preceding this one. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون. Oh, you believe, let not a group scoff at another group. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor let some woman scoff at other women. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. How bad is it to insult one's brother after having faith? And whosoever does not repent, then such are indeed the wrongdoers. The 6th matter is averting evil from people's wealth. The Quran commands the most just and right ways in protecting people's wealth. That's why it forbade all illegal ways of collecting wealth. It also ordained specific penalties for the crime of theft. In this regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما. In Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 29, O who you believe, eat not up your property among yourselves unjustly, except it be a trade amongst you by mutual consent, and do not kill one, and don't kill yourselves, nor kill one another. Surely Allah is most merciful to you. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the theft and the punishment of it or related to it, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:38. والسارق والسارقة فاقطعوا أيديهما جزاء بما كسبا نكالا من الله والله عزيز حكيم. Cut off the hand of the thief, male or female, as a recompense for that which they committed, a punishment by way of example from Allah, and Allah is Almighty, All Wise. So in summary, therefore, the Quran guides to that which is most just and most right in averting all evil from, number one, the deen, secondly, the self, thirdly, the intellect, fourthly, lineage, fifthly, honor, and finally, property. The Quran also guides to that which is most just and most right in bringing about good and righteousness in all walks of life. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Jumu'ah chapter 62 verse 10, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. Then when the Friday prayer is finished, you may disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah by working, etc. And remember Allah much that you may be successful. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24:61, covering all aspects of life.
ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج ولا على أنفسكم أن تأكلوا من بيوتكم أو بيوت آبائكم أو بيوت آبائكم أو بيوت أمهاتكم أو بيوت إخوانكم أو بيوت أخواتكم أو بيوت أعمامكم أو بيوت عماتكم أو بيوت أخوالكم أو بيوت أخوالكم أو بيوت خالاتكم أو ما ملكتم مفاتحه أو صديقكم ليس عليكم جناح أن تأكلوا جميعا أو أشتاتا فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون.
There is no restriction on the blind, nor any restriction on the lame, nor any restriction on the sick, nor on yourselves if you eat from your houses, or the houses of your fathers, or the houses of your mothers, or the houses of your brothers, or the houses of your sisters, or the houses of your father's brothers, or the houses of your father's sisters, or the houses of your mother's brothers, or the houses of your mother's sisters, or from that whereof you hold keys, or from the house of a friend, no sin on you, whether you eat together or apart. But when you enter the houses, greet one another with a greeting from Allah, which is Assalamu alaikum, blessed and good. Thus Allah makes clear the ayat, these verses, or your religious symbols and signs, to you that you may understand. The Quran guides to that which is most just and most right ways that leads to the establishment of moral codes. It is a code for life. We stop here, and inshallah ta'ala, in the next talk, the subject will be the Quran is a proof for you or against you. We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, and we ask Him to make us from the people of the Quran who knows the Quran and act accordingly. He is the most generous, the most merciful. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.